Hershey in the narthex. And then last but certainly not least, we have a very special final announcement. And the air conditioning just went off for it, so. This past Tuesday, July the 26th, marked the 40-year memory of the day in 1982 when our very own Pastor David Nairns became an ordained pastor for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That same day, he was installed to be the pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. So today, we are celebrating that 40th anniversary of that wonderful event. We praise God for the love and wisdom that he had in sending us Pastor Nairns to preach the gospel with conviction and clarity for more than three decades here in Norman, Oklahoma at Trinity Lutheran Church. This act of love has been a true blessing for all the members of Trinity, and we hope and pray that it has been a blessing also for you, Pastor Nairns, as well. I'd love to say that we're looking forward to the next 40 years of Pastor Nairns' service, but something tells me he might want a little bit of a change in his day-to-day schedule before 2062 rolls around. So let's just say that we all wish you continued success and fulfillment in your service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your ministry continues to grow and the number of souls you bring to the gospel, bring the gospel message to continues to increase. We would also like to recognize Reverend Myron Maltz. In just a few days, he is going to celebrate his 55th anniversary of ordination. I don't think I see Pastor Maltz here, but that's another amazing commemoration. So we just also would just love to have God continue to bless these two wonderful pastors, their families, and may continue to use the Holy Spirit to help inspire passionate and talented young people to listen to the call that Jesus gave to make disciples of all nations as they consider giving their lives to the ministry. Thank you.
It's been my privilege to be your pastor all these years, and I look forward to continuing to be your pastor. I have taken on additional responsibilities with the district president of Oklahoma District, but will continue to be the full-time pastor here, and many people in the district assist me in that role. So it's my privilege to be your pastor and my joy to be your pastor. Before we do come in, I just want to announce that we did not have Kent Christner's funeral this past week for other reasons. So the visitation for the family will be 4 to 6 Thursday at Ireland Funeral Home and more. The graveside service will be Friday at IOOF on Porter at 10 a.m. on Friday. The service at the church will be at a later date. We will send an email with this information to you. Let us now sing the opening hymn, and the children will process to sing after the hymn. Let us sing the opening hymn, Praise the Almighty, hymn 797. Stand and face the cross as it enters the sanctuary, hymn 797.
Thank you.
Vacation Bible School all during this last week. So many of you dedicated a lot of time so the children could learn about the tree of life in heaven. Please turn to page 219 in the front of your hymnal. Page 219 for Matins. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Spirit.
2022. You may be seated.
What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun. For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." When he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Compton Responsory, page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Gold. The mere mention of gold often will cause ears to perk up. Gold has been a biblical store of value since Abraham was rich with gold in the book of Genesis. But all that glitters is not gold. In the gold rushes of history, many an eager prospector was duped into buying a claim, only to find out there was no gold, but rather pyrite, fool's gold. You see, fool's gold resembles gold to the untrained eye, but it's not. Despite its brassy color, fool's gold doesn't have the same weight or same substance as real gold. The world today is full of fool's gold, highly prized possessions which outwardly appear valuable. Money, cars, real estate, stock, bonds, mutual funds. Yet all these fall short of heavenly riches. In spiritual terms, even gold is fool's gold. All the possessions of this life are fool's gold compared to the riches of faith. In our text from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus warns us against covetousness and the false sense of security which comes with possessions. And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Covetousness arises out of the selfish nature of man's heart. Born in original sin, it isn't long before even the smallest of children starts to say, "Mine." As we grow older, we say, "Mine," more often. That phone is mine, that car is mine, that house is mine, that achievement is mine. We have no problem saying mine, especially if we work hard to earn something. But Jesus here isn't speaking against hard work. After all, in Genesis, after the fall, man is to eat bread by the sweat of his face. Where once in the Garden of Eden, food was able to be plucked off the tree and eaten, after being driven out of the garden, man would have to till the soil, plant, and pray for harvest. Now, not everyone is a farmer. We live in a society of specialized labor. But whatever you do for a living, is it your life? Is your life, your identity, tied up with all the possessions your labor allows you to buy? Or is your heart consumed with all the things you wish you could afford? Lest we think covetousness isn't quite as bad as other sins, Apostle Paul lists covetousness with sins which will incur the wrath of God, including sexual immorality, impurity, and evil desire. Covetousness is idolatry, the worship of material and self rather than the living God. But Scripture says, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." The blood of Christ. Your worth, your identity, your life is not in your possessions. Your life is in Christ, in God Himself. As the Apostle Peter writes, you are a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Your possessions, whether many or few, are not really that important. But what is important is for you to know that you are the possession of God by the operation of the Holy Spirit because of Christ's death and resurrection for you. For His sake, all of your sin is forgiven, including covetousness. Earthly possessions may give a sense of security, but it's fleeting. Earthly possessions can be gone in a moment. Christ secured you as God's possession to give you an eternal heavenly inheritance. Our security is then not in our own possessions, but rather in being the possession of God. So Jesus tells a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. There's no mention of the rich man recognizing the fruitfulness of his land and of his labors was given to him by God. There's no mention of a prayer of thanksgiving to God. Furthermore, his covetousness prevented him from sharing the Lord's bounty with others. In fact, he created even more work for himself by tearing down his barns and building larger ones. It's not that material possessions in and of themselves are evil, but we should recognize all possessions are received from the hand of God. In the first article of the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. As Luther explains in the Large Catechism, to confess God as creator and we as his creatures is to confess God causes all created things to serve for the uses and necessities of life. This includes clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. Of what then do we have to boast when it comes to our possessions? The explanation continues, He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. As Luther explained it, when we believe what we confess in the first article of the Creed, we live accordingly. This doesn't mean strutting around proudly as though we have life or riches of ourselves, but rather receiving all that we have as a gift from God. For this, it is our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. All our possessions should serve God in a life of faith. Now, those who receive greater possessions from God ought to be generous and share with those who have little. Apostle Paul counsels the rich to not be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. God has established good order in the church to ensure the earthly needs of all Christians are cared for. When needs are identified, resources provided by God should be put to work among God's people, good works. To do this, we must put aside the inclination to say, mine, and instead look at our possessions and say, God's. God provides possessions for use in living and to be freely given in faith in service to Him, not to enslave in covetousness. As the possession of God, you have the mind of Christ, who uses all things to serve his body, the church. Unfortunately, the rich man thought only of himself and said to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." Never mind caring for the poor. Never mind providing for the needs of the church. Never mind a life of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to God. The mind of the rich man was so full of himself that even his dialogue was with himself and not with God. When the rich man should have been listening to God's word about what his soul needed, the riches of faith, he was telling his own soul just how good he had it among his own possessions. When the rich man should have been giving thanks and praise to God in prayer, he was boasting as the wicked of the desires of his soul. The parable shows how foolish it is to fixate on self and on earthly possessions. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The vanity of earthly possessions is revealed when we die. As the saying goes, you never see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. The rich fool filled his heart with his own possessions without regard for God and was not able to enjoy them. And notice God addresses the rich man as a fool. Harsh language. The psalm tells us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Here we have the example of the rich fool acting as if there is no God. Acting as if he measures his own lifespan to fulfill his own pleasure, but at the expense of his soul. How about you? Are you so focused on saving for retirement in your IRA that you put aside the needs of others as well as your own soul? Are you so focused on providing your family a certain standard of living to keep up with the Joneses that you'll miss divine service to pick up an extra shift, even if you really don't need the money? This isn't to say it's wrong to pick up extra shifts or to work on Sunday morning, especially in service to others. But if you miss divine service, with what intention is it done? Is it just to earn more money for an early retirement? Let's take heed to the example of the rich man who never got to enjoy his early retirement. Man's life is but a vapor, and the length of his days known only to God. Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is your wealth. His kingdom is your inheritance. Our Lord tells us not to be anxious. He will provide what is needed to support this body and life. The example of Abraham in Genesis shows us one can have earthly possessions and still be rich toward God. God didn't give Abraham fool's gold, but the real thing. And though rich with gold, Abraham didn't set his heart on riches. Abraham offered a tithe to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who is priest of the Most High God. Abraham recognized and respected the order of the church. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Thanks be to God for all in the church who receive their many possessions with thanksgiving to God and distribute them for the needs of the saints. Whether you have many or few possessions, the death and resurrection of Christ secured you heavenly riches. Whether you pick up extra shifts for all the wrong reasons or obsess over your IRA, you were redeemed, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. His blood is always shared generously in the church, through the absolution spoken by the pastor, and in forgiveness one to another. The bounty of the Lord's table is yours to receive with thanksgiving. Christ stores his goodness for you in the water and word of your baptism, the forgiveness of sins and resurrected life in him. On the last day, in your bodily resurrection, you will share in the glory of heaven with him eternally. The faith in Christ, which delivers all these benefits, is much more valuable than gold. By faith, we receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who fills our spiritual need. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." God himself, the owner of cattle on a thousand hills, humbled himself to come down to earth incarnate in the flesh of a man to die for your sin. His riches poured as water and blood from his riven side, a spring of forgiveness we could never provide for ourselves. Christ's work for you on the cross provides an eternal inheritance which will never be exhausted, though it is shared by all who believe. What do we have that we have not received? It is for this reason we are free to share the gospel and to give. The material possessions of this life are nothing compared to riches in Christ Jesus. There are riches to be found on this earth, but they aren't where most people think they are, and they don't look like what most people think they ought to look like. Amid all the possessions of this world, which are quickly passing away, which are fool's gold, there are riches in the church. Treasure of word and water, treasure in bread and wine, spiritual riches received by faith in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, through whom we have entry into the New Jerusalem. As we sing in the hymn, "Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed, the promise of salvation, the place of peace and rest, we know not, oh we know not, what joys await us there, the radiancy of glory, the bliss beyond compare. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen."
We continue on page 223. We stand to sing the Te Deum. Page 223.
Angels strike out, our heavens in all the
gather their offerings. Please sign the ritual of friendship at the pew. Pass the folks sitting next to you and tear the sheet off and put it in the basket in the narthex as you leave. We gather the offerings. You may be seated. Page 227, we stand to sing the Kyrie. Kingdoms rise and fall. Leaders are raised up, brought low by your will.
Grant to all nations humility in service, recognizing the vanity of this world and rejoicing in the good gifts that come from you alone. We pray for peace and an end to the war in the Ukraine and bring peace to the people of that nation. And we pray for those who serve in the armed forces of our country. Eli Wiley, Courtney Tate, Danny Green, Ricardo Batanga, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, and Alex Laffin. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be near to the suffering, the dying, and the grieving. Comfort the Christner family at the death of Kent, who is now with you in heaven, with a short and blessed hope of a reunion in heaven. Give compassionate and skillful service of doctors and nurses to those who are in need of healing and strength, Scott Christner and Sue Eby, Melody Lechtenberg and Gene Faulkner, Julie Rose, Leonard Canipa, Raymond Sendelbach, Claire Jones, Joe Waller, and Candy Darmody. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for the rain this weekend, and we ask that you provide for our daily bread, for those who provide it. Bless the farmers and the ranchers and those who serve in the vocation of our daily bread. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, with confidence in your word and sacrament, we know that by the means of grace, you keep us in holiness, you guard us from temptation and despair, and you will bring us to the perfect fulfillment as we are delivered into everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.